Ian Schur is an associate editor at CNET and joins us frequently on WGN Radio. Actually, I believe his title is editor-at-large, or has that changed now, Ian? How do we introduce you anymore?
No, I still have that title, yes. So you can use it. You can call me anything you want, of course.
Well, you know I like to call you for your thoughts and expertise. What is somebody
there
like you who studies technology like this? What do you make of Elon Musk being the person of the year?
You know, it makes sense in a lot of ways when you think about the impact that he's had on culture and the impact he's had on the tech industry. The fact that his startup SpaceX, which he founded in 2002, has actually done something that the U.S. government wasn't able to do, which was to get us flying in space again, right? Up until this year, we relied on other countries to get our astronauts up to the International Space Station, and it was SpaceX that got us flying after we retired the reusable shuttles. So, you know, those things alone, as a space nerd myself, get him into that list. But I think also, obviously, the conversation around Tesla, the conversation around what renewable energy is, what renewable anything is, really involves him. And so in that way, it's a natural choice.
I wonder if his personality were more, I'll just say, moderate, like a Bill Gates, you know, brilliant and successful, but he's more like the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. What's his face?
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. He's more like that. Revels in the limelight and loves to sort of push his thoughts around. I wonder, anyway, if he were more like a Bill Gates, would he be the person of the year?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting, of course, is that Bill Gates had this kind of very nerdy personality in public, but he was very much like Elon Musk behind the scenes. And I think that that is what's interesting. You know, you think of the people who really get in and change things, and they always tend to be these very abrasive personalities. You know, Steve Jobs is the quintessential example, right? And we've written on CNET, actually, about how a lot of people have taken the message of Steve Jobs and the lessons learned from who he was and turned it into, well, I guess, you know, a brilliant jerk is okay to live with as long as they're brilliant. And I think that's part of what has made Elon Musk so successful. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve all of the praise he gets, but there's also something to be said about how Silicon Valley's culture has been built around accepting this kind of outlandish behavior instead of attempting to moderate it.
But see, here again, you and I brought it up, of course, but we're talking about his personality. And in setting this up, I said, I don't drive a Tesla and I'll never go to space. So really, except that he is an extraordinarily interesting person, what's his impact been on me? When Barack Obama ushered in affordable health care, such as it was, albeit controversial, at least that impacted everybody in the United States of America on a very personal level. What has Elon Musk done for me?
Well, for you personally, maybe nothing. But I would argue that by making sustainable energy transportation a conversation, you look at now Ford, you look at GM, you look at all of these companies, all of his competitors, and they are all following his lead, right? And you could argue they were working on it for a long time, sure, whatever. But the reality is now they are making promises to offer electric vehicles in a way that they never did before. And I'm certain that Tesla's value on the stock market, which is more than any of those other companies, has something to do with the fact that they see, okay, well, maybe we need to change the way that we're doing things. Same thing with the space race. You know, look, a lot of people look at space and they say, you know, we got enough trouble here on Earth. Why don't we work on that instead? And I would point out that most of our technological advances over the last 50-100 years have come from our efforts to go to space and our efforts to put stuff up in the sky. And so while it doesn't have that hard of an impact on you directly, and you may never stand on Mars, the technological innovations that are going to come from trying to do that are going to help you in your life. You may not just realize it.
But if you were going to talk about impact on people's lives and maybe the technology or science of things, it's a fair conversation to say maybe they should have made the people that came up with the vaccine, right? Because last year, 2020, it was Kamala and Joe, no argument here.
Right.
And then Elon Musk this year. And there's some people in a laboratory in Europe going, wait a minute, we saved humanity. How about a little something-something for the effort?
Not debating that at all. And certainly, I think there's a lot of argument to be made in a lot of those types of things. I will point out that Person of the Year has been controversial in the past. And part of what makes it interesting, and it's the same conversation that happens with the Nobel Peace Prize, is that, you know, I think that oftentimes they're making these decisions in part to spur a conversation in our culture, right? It's not just about awarding the person that everyone says, yeah, that makes sense. In a lot of ways, it's about trying to draw our attention to something. And so while Elon Musk may arguably have plenty of attention on his own, I think that that is part of why that may have happened that way. It's also, you remember Time Magazine named you the Person of the Year back in 2007, 2008, right? YouTube, right? Yeah. It was the cover was literally a mirror. And a lot of people looked at it and said, that is the most silly thing I've ever heard of. But the reality is YouTube has completely changed our culture, whether or not you're actually involved in it. And it has changed the way that we converse. It's changed the way entertainment works. It has changed the way that teenagers think. Like, literally, there's studies out there that show they go to YouTube more than Google. So in a lot of ways, YouTube's very important. And that's part of why Time made that decision.
It was 2006, and it was, yeah, for the content people were creating and posting on places like YouTube, you were that person. So one last question for you, and then since you just brought that up, are you entertained or interested in the conversation about is all of this technology and connection good or bad? I understand our frustration with it, but come on, you guys, Google, end of conversation. The internet wins. It's a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's way more good than bad. Do you agree with me on that?
I think that on the whole, obviously, having access to all the world's information in my pocket is a broadly good thing. I think the challenge is that we have set up the internet and a lot of these social media networks in particular with the assumption that people are going to act in good faith. And what we've found is that a lot of bad faith people are using it to poison our politics, to poison our minds when it comes to the coronavirus and how a lot of us think about whether or not vaccines are effective or safe. And though that is where I think the personal danger is. And I mean, there's always a natural reaction to anything that happens and unintended consequences. And I think if we can find our way around understanding how technology is negatively impacting our lives, things will be better.
I forget where I saw it, but there was an op-ed over the weekend, and it was about technology in the hands of kids, and people blame the technology. And the point of the piece by this person was, it's not the technology, you guys, that's the problem here. It's the supervision of it, et cetera, et cetera. It's Ian Schur, who is with CNET. You hear him frequently on WGN, and we always appreciate your expertise. Thank you, Ian.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Editor at large there.